This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. A New Hampshire software developer is working on a way to protect household devices that are connected to the internet. It's part of a broader nationwide push to keep the devices in our homes safe from hackers. David Brooks, who writes the Granite Geek column at the Concord Monitor, has been keeping a close eye on this topic. David, welcome back to All Things Considered.
Always delighted to be here.
So this is all about the Internet of Things. So bring us up to speed. What is that?
Okay, Internet of Things, or IoT, if you're into that sort of lingo, is basically all the interconnected, all the internet-connected devices that are being sold now and more often installed. Things like, starting with your router, which is the thing that, you know, allows Wi-Fi in your house and brings the internet in your house, but also webcams. There's interconnect thermostats. So, for example, so you can, you know, set the thermostat on your smartphone when you're at work. Baby monitors, security cameras, there's, you know, door locks, refrigerators, toasters. I mean, there's a ton of stuff out there.
So essentially these devices connected to the internet, and if they are hacked, what threat do they pose to the people who own them?
So hacked doesn't generally mean, you know, they're taken over and, you know, it's going to, your toaster's going to start attacking you because, you know, bad guys in Ukraine are owning it. What hacked usually means is they've snuck software onto it without your knowledge. And that software can do things against you, spying or trying to steal some information, but more often the reason it is done is so they can use your machine to send out either spam or to do some concentrated attack. So basically your thermostat has been turned into a kind of a dumb computer that the bad guys are controlling to send out messages over the internet when they desire.
So these bad guys could use your thermostat, your toaster, your baby monitor, and millions of other like devices to sort of swarm a particular company's website, and that's called a denial of service attack. So that's what this is going to prevent.
That's probably the biggest thing this is targeted. And distributed denial of service attack, as you said, the DDoS, the most famous one here in New Hampshire at least happened in October when Dyne, the network company in Manchester, it's now part of Oracle, was hit hard for a number of hours, which took down a bunch of very famous websites. And that was tens of millions of these things, DVRs and things like that, all being said, okay, now send messages to Dyne. And they just basically overloaded it.
Okay. So enter this guy, Steve Castle, a developer here in New Hampshire.
And Liz and Lee.
Working on an app that's going to help you identify when these internet-connected devices in your house have somehow been hijacked.
Right, exactly, and which is the big problem. So if you're a user like me, you may not have even changed the password when you installed the device, which is a big part of the problem. And you certainly don't know if there's security holes have been found on it or if it's been updated. So Steve Castle actually entered a contest that was put forward by the Federal Trade Commission, which has actually been the federal agency that's been fighting against this issue. And they had a nationwide competition for ideas to do it. And his idea was the app. He won first prize, $25,000. And basically, it's an app on your smartphone that connects to your Wi-Fi and hunts around and says, hey, these are the devices you've got connected, and here's what we know about their security issues, and here's what we know about their current state. And it will download updates, for example. If it says, hey, there's been an update to this, to your security camera in the last month that you should install, click here to download it. You can do things like that. So to simplify it for those clueless users.
And so for users, clueless or not, if they're using this app, they'll be asked to do something, perhaps to increase their security, change their passwords if they find that there's some kind of insecurity because of this app.
It could be. I'm not sure it's to be smart enough to tell you your password's bad. It's still in development. And actually, he's kind of doing alpha testing. The big issue with it, frankly, is getting information from the vendors, from the companies that make these things. The information he needs to have in a database so that the app can tell you, hey, this thing has just had a security hole spotted. It's sometimes a little difficult to pry that out of the companies. He's going to probably need some help, need some backing to make that actually occur.
So in the meantime, people using these internet-connected devices, what's their level of responsibility for keeping their stuff safe?
That's a good question. So now, many people, frankly, including myself, would argue that virtually all the responsibility is on the manufacturers' part, is they are churning out these incredibly unsafe devices. They send them out with, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as a password. They allow you to hook them up without changing the password. They have bad firmware on them. I mean, they're cranking them out because they can make a few bucks. So I would argue that they are responsible for virtually all the problem. They should make them safer. It'd be like, as I said in the column, it'd be like selling you cars with no door locks and, you know, a big button saying push here to hotwire a car, and then saying, oh, it's not my fault your car got stolen. The counter argument, and there's something to be said for this, is that those of us who buy the things and install them and are too lazy to change the password and are too lazy to, you know, make sure that they're up to date and safe, that we bear some of the responsibility also. So the car metaphor would be like if we, you know, bought a car and then left it on a steep hill without the parking brake engaged and left it out of gear and then complained when it rolled downhill. So there is definitely blame to be shared.
So the car analogy, I guess you could say folks need to get a club. Remember the club?
Oh, the club. That was awesome. And of course, then your car got stolen and somebody took the steering wheel off. But anyway, so.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who publishes via the Internet of Geekiness at graniteGeek.org.